We're continuing our class on the Jewish home. We discussed that the home is the best thing you could have in your life, and that's why it's the most difficult. Good things come hard. No, good things don't come easy. Easy come, easy go. Really good things take a lot of work, and this is the thing that will most impact your life, your kids, your happiness, your sense of satisfaction in life, your tranquility, your growth in observance of Torah and mitzvos, your connection with all of humanity, your connection with your family, your capacity to deal with life's hardships, to deal with illness, to make a living, to bring up your children. So marriage is the most all-encompassing deal in your life. And in Judaism, we say that marriage is not only a deal, but it is the beginning of life. We make a blessing for a couple. What do we say? Yotzer ha'adam. Right? At the beginning of a marriage ceremony, Sheva Brachos, we make a blessing about the creation of man. Hey buddy, now life is about to begin. You found your wife? This is where it all begins. And we discussed the heading on a wedding invitation that says, Modeh ani lefanecha shechezarta binishmati. I give thanks to Hashem, you gave me back my soul. This is a part of my soul. So, we discussed that Rav Elchanan Wasserman's eulogy of the Chafetz Chaim, that in Judaism we look at a person firstly how they behave in their home. Only then do we look at their accomplishments outside the home. We mentioned the Zohar that says that a person will be judged by his wife in the world to come. And we said that our sages pointed out from Proverbs that there's nothing better than a good wife, as we see when Hashem wants an allegory for something good to compare the Torah to compare the Jewish people's connection with the Creator. The allegory is always, we're compared to a good wife. Well, if it's the best thing in the world, then it's also the hardest thing in the world. Number one cardinal rule, we said, is that you have to decide to decide. There has to be a decision, because there will always be plaguing doubts. And that's what we discussed last week, that it is natural to have doubts. What a person has to do is decide, I've made a decision. No one can tell you when to make that decision, but the earlier you make it, the earlier you allow yourself to be happy. We discussed that one can have doubts on the wedding night. One can have doubts during engagement. One can have doubts throughout one's marriage, and that makes the marriage impossible, because marriage is difficult. In order for it to be pleasant, you have to first be dedicated. So we said that's number one. Enemy number one of marriage is that doubt. A person has to decide, I'm in it. It's not a question, will it work? It's a question of how will it work. Next, we said there's a common error that people think there are those couples that have it made. It just works for them. No such thing. Any couple that you see that's happy together has worked very hard to make it so. It does not work on its own. It does not work on autopilot. And just because you get along with all your friends and you're the most popular guy and you've even have girlfriends, maybe, unfortunately, and now you say, hey, why doesn't marriage work? Must be she's the problem. No. Marriage is different than a girlfriend. It's different than any other friend. And marriage requires work. It will not work unless you're ready to work. If you're willing to work hard to make it work, it can be the most beautiful thing. But there's no other way to get there. And you'll think, but I saw my parents. Yeah, you saw them. You started noticing them after they were married for how many years? 15 years? So that doesn't prove anything. So that's a huge mistake people make. I've heard this so many times. There are those couples that have it made, that they're happy together. No, there aren't. There are couples that have made it so. If they've worked at it, then they can reach a point where they're happy together. And then we went off on that tangent. Someone asked, does that mean any couple could make it work? And we discussed that a little bit at length. Okay, so now we move on.
Is there an independent mitzvah to marry, or is this mitzvah only derived from being fulfilled on Shabbat?
It's a good question. Depends who you ask. Maimonides, Nachmanides. Generally, we say the more common opinion is that it is not an independent mitzvah. Maimonides writes that it is an independent mitzvah. Maimonides lists it as an independent mitzvah. The mitzvah of being Mekadesh, Others, Rashi says it's a prelude to having children, right? Okay. Most difficulties in marriage are classical. It is so common when I speak before a crowd that are married that everyone in the crowd thinks other people might be able to rectify their marriage, but my marriage is doomed. That's because people don't recognize that their neighbors are dealing with the same issues. And the guy who's smiling outside and everything seems great on the outside, believe me, when he comes back home, he has the same issues. I gave a class on marriage. Hoshana Rabbah? Something around there. No, an Elul maybe. I don't remember. About 2 months ago. And at the end of the class, I gave it differently than I ever gave it before. So at the end of the class, I asked people if you could give me feedback. I said, it's the first time I gave a class in this manner, in this style. I'm curious what you got from it. So one person over there says to me, the class gave me so much because I now understand that everyone's suffering just like me. So that was not the message. The message was, if we work, we can make it beautiful. Yes, every marriage requires work. And that gives us a lot of strength, because that means even when we encounter hardships, that's not a reason to give up. It's not a reason to think the marriage is doomed. That's not a reason to think I made a mistake. Even though I think that my hardship is different than everyone else's hardship. Okay. We discussed the first year, or the first 2 years, there's that sense that this is exceptionally bad. The first fight, the first time that a couple quarrels, so it seems like everything's gone. Suddenly you look at it and you feel like your dreams are dashed. This is who I married? How could I move on from here? You have to know it's the exact opposite. When a couple crosses that threshold, when they've had an argument, when they've had a quarrel, when they've had a misunderstanding, when they're upset at one another, and then they make up and they build. So in the heat of the moment, you're going to ask yourself, how's this ever going to work? But you should know today that when you do make it work, and it takes time, but you do make it work, you walk away stronger for it. You have proven to yourselves that we're not giving up. This connection is going to last. And every hardship that you cross, every hardship strengthens the bond if you're willing to cross it correctly. I was in the hospital with a friend of mine, and he suddenly turns to me and says to me, you know what hardships we had in our life? And I did. They had a child born with severe medical issues. And he says to me, you know, you cross those hardships, but you walk away with scars. And I was very worried when he said that. I said, what do you mean? He said, you walk away with scars. You don't just heal. There are still scars. And sure enough, within a year, he was divorced. Now, you're talking about someone who was married over 20 years. And when he said that to me, I said, something's wrong. Why is he viewing it that way? So, about 3-4 years ago, I was walking out of the Beis Medrash, walking out of the building, and an old man comes to me, and he says, do I have to fast Yom Kippur? And he said, hi, my name's Nathanael. Who are you? He says to me, who am I? He rolls up his sleeve, and he shows me a blue Magen David, a tattoo of a blue Magen David. He says to me, you know what that is? I said, no. I didn't want to tell him, yeah, biblical prohibition, you shouldn't have that. I didn't say it. I said, no. So he says to me, this is the sign that Ariel Sharon and I and the rest of the battalion have. Ariel Sharon and I fought side by side. You know how many Jews' lives I saved? We as a battalion put this on. And I'm thinking, oy vey. So he says to me, I've been fighting for the Jewish people my whole life, but I just had open heart surgery 2 weeks ago. I'm looking at him standing there. That's pretty impressive. So he says, I had open heart surgery. I don't know if it was 2 weeks or 2 months ago. It doesn't make sense, 2 weeks. It must have been 2 months ago. He says to me, do I have to fast Yom Kippur? So I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, he says, you don't believe me that I fought. And he picks up his shirt and he shows me a scar. He says, this is, and he starts telling me which battle. He picks up the other side of his shirt. He shows me another scar. And he says, this is this battle. You see this? These are signs of my love for the Jewish people. I'll never forget that. He looks at me. He doesn't say these are scars. This is my love. So I thought of him and I thought of this guy. Yes, life gives us hardships. Yes, in marriage there are difficulties. But we don't have to look at it as scars that indicate pain. We could look at it as scars that indicate accomplishment. If we move forward in the marriage and we say, yes, we had a hardship and we stuck it through together. Whenever couples face challenges, they could be financial challenges. A person loses his job. They can be medical challenges. They can be familial challenges. One of the kids is going off their rocker. There are challenges in life. Life has challenges. Things don't go smoothly. But you have to know, you're entering an era where you will have a choice. Either the challenge will push you further apart or draw you closer together. And it's up to you. It's a choice you make. Yes, there will be pressure. But will I have patience for my spouse and understand that she's under pressure? Will she have patience for me? And even if things are rough between the couple, they have to make that conscious decision, I'm going to move forward. And the fact that we will traverse this hardship, we will walk away stronger for it. Our bond will be stronger for it. Oh, you can always harp on the things that were hurtful. You could think back to those moments. You could think back to the disappointments. You could think back to the times that, I wish she wouldn't have done that. It really hurt. I would have really appreciated it if she would have done it differently. Or you could look at what have we done together. Now I'll give you a quick tip. We had one of our kids had breathing issues. They had difficulty breathing. And we had to be seen by a specialist in Tel Aviv hospital. So we were commuting to Tel Aviv. Back and forth and back and forth. At one point, they had to put him to sleep a few times and go into his trachea and see his lungs and everything. Not pleasant things, not the end of the world, but not too pleasant. And as a parent, you never know, you know, they always make you sign that if God forbid A or B or C or D happens, you're not going to sue. And you suddenly read, oh, when you go into the throat, that can cause a person to stop breathing. Do I really want you to go into his throat? You read all these wonderful things. It's not pleasant, right? To put it mildly. So we're traveling to Tel Aviv, Ichilov Hospital. Getting up at like 5 in the morning, traveling out there. And the first time we're there, I tell my wife, I'm not going to make it through this whole procedure to talk to the doctors without a cup of coffee. So we go out only to discover a cup of coffee could be 15, 20 shekel. So then we decided that we made a little ritual. Every time we would go to Tel Aviv, the night before, we would make coffee, put it in a bottle, put it in the freezer, iced coffee. So then, we'd get up in the morning, take our bottle of iced coffee. We'd come to Ichilov, have a bottle and cups. And it's fun. Now we have a date, you know. We'd come with the baby, with our iced coffee. Everyone else is paying 15 shekel a cup, and we have our cheap, like, half a shekel cup, right? But we have as much coffee as we want, and it's ice, and we offer it to the doctors, too. Made a little ritual. Till today, we'll always remember those pleasant cups of iced coffee we'd have at the bus stop, waiting for the bus, getting off the bus, waiting for the procedure. We turned it into a ritual. We were traveling to Kochav Yaakov, our first 2 years in Kochav Yaakov. Now, we were going by bus. We had a newborn. We had 4 or 5 kids then, I don't remember. And we were walking to the central bus station. So sometimes we would walk, and it was cold. Sometimes it was hot. Sometimes it was rainy. Sometimes it was snowy. And we were walking with 2 suitcases, and a baby, and a carriage, and little kids. So how do you do that? So the way there is decent. It's Friday, right? But what about the way back? You're coming back Matzei Shabbos. You're landing in the central bus station. The kids want to go to sleep. And you have to convince them to walk the whole way back from the central bus station, a 20-minute walk. So we developed a ritual. When we would finish the last uphill climb, and we could see our house down the block when it was just a walk to the house, we would stop, and the whole family would pause. We'd take out a bar of chocolate, break off a piece, divide it. Each kid would get a little piece. And the challenge was, who could suck his piece of chocolate till the house? Whose chocolate wouldn't melt till you reach the house? Who could suck it most slowly? So that way I don't give them a big piece of chocolate before they go to sleep. You don't want them having cavities from it. But that ritual made all the difference. They would walk like soldiers all the way from the central bus station. Everyone's happy because they know when they get there, when they get to that marker where they see the house already, everyone's getting a little piece of chocolate. So it's not a big deal, a little piece of chocolate, right? But it changes the whole atmosphere. For 2 years we did this running, and we never had a fight. The whole way, there and back, the kids loved it. Because we made a little ritual that made a big difference. One of the keys when we, as a family, or as a couple, when we have to face a difficult situation, is to develop rituals that will enrich us. Little rituals. They can be little fun rituals. People sometimes have to take their kids to therapy. Sometimes the kids hate the therapy. But if you make up every time when we leave the therapy, we go to this park, we go to buy this ice cream, you make a little ritual that's associated with it, it could change the whole experience. And the key is often to make the ritual before it becomes an issue. You make it into something fun. And just like you can do it with kids, we can do it as adults. We can do it for ourselves. I told you guys the story about when I came here the first time, how I got myself to learn Mishnayos. I kept telling myself, you'll finish the Seder and then, okay, I'll tell you a different time, not on record. Yes.
You were saying about the guard, well, reading up the hardships and the money that we shouldn't carry on.
I didn't follow the question, I'm sorry.
Something very difficult happened to that person. He said the scars, what was it, the scars stay with us or something like that?
I said scars can be viewed as a sign of the wound, or a scar can be a badge of honor. Just like the guy showed me, look at my love for the people of Israel, look at these scars. So too, a person can look back at a difficult time in his marriage and say, look, we traversed that. That's a sign of our love. We're here in spite of that.
But the first guy who said the scars will stay with us or something like
that? He meant it in a bad way. He meant, you know, we're scarred. Our relationship is scarred. The first guy was saying there are scars. No one can deny there are scars. There are things you can't erase. Look at the first couple. We just read about them, right? Adam and Eve. So Chava gives him from the forbidden fruit and he's going to die. He can't undo that. So how does marriage continue after that? How does he look her in the face? You know, they weren't together even one day and she already killed him. What's he supposed to do? The question is, how do you look at it afterwards? I'm saying it's throughout the Tanakh you see this. So a person can look at it and say, our marriage is scarred, our life is scarred. A person can look at it and say, in spite of that, we move forward. We look at the positive, and we build from here. And the fact that we're together in spite of that will give us strength to traverse the next challenges. Life has challenges. Things don't. It's not smooth sailing. If it were meant to be smooth sailing, we wouldn't have to be born.
Is that something that you have to forget about the scars that happened?
That's also true. We have a choice what we're focused on in life. It's always a choice. We can always choose what to focus on. That's also true. That's also true. So, we have to know that when you want to build a building, you spend a lot of time laying foundations. The first rule in hardships is we have to know that hardships are the foundation of marriage. Every hardship that we overcome, so then the connection advances because we've just proven that in spite of that hardship, we're still together. The second rule is where we'll have to pick up Ezrat Hashem next week, is the idea of the word divorce. Where does that belong in the marriage? It doesn't. That's a word that should never be used in a marriage, the word divorce. And we're going to pick up here Bezrat Hashem next week. with a discussion of why, but maybe a person is considering it. Ah, so what happens if you just mention it or joke about it? What could happen? And we'll see what happened to a couple who was married over 20 years when one of them just insinuated it and said, you know, maybe we should consider it. We'll visit a couple that already had grandchildren and had already married off kids when suddenly one wrote the other a letter during the course of a certain spat and said something which the other one took as they were insinuating divorce and where that led them. We'll discuss the gun laws in the United States about when you draw a gun and how that's connected to the idea of divorce. Coming next week, stay tuned. What did we learn this week? Gentlemen, what did we learn this week? No. In our Jewish home class. We learned that most hardships are classical. People think they're the exception. We said enemy number one is the thought, maybe I married the wrong person. Person has to decide to decide. We discussed that the first year, person can really worry about who he's married. Everyone thinks his hardship is exceptional. We said in the first fight, you think everything's fallen to pieces. How could I build from here on in? We said that every hardship that we overcome is the laying of foundations. We said a person can look at it as I'm scarred. A person can look at it as look at what we've accomplished. And with that, one's connection grows. And we ended with the idea we will discuss at length next week, the idea that the word divorce does not belong in a marriage.